welcome to the Midnight Musings podcast tonight. Here we are at it again. And tonight we have a very special guest joining with us. Joe, why don't you go ahead and let the audience know, who are you? What do you do? What are you doing here?
My name is Joe Smith. Well, that's what I go by. Do you want to hear my full legal name?
I mean, if you're comfortable with it, I mean, you know, the feds are listening to us as well, so I don't know if that will be safe for you. If you feel that your life is in danger, by all means, but...
It's just, you know, 99% of the time when I tell people my name's Joe Smith, they're like, is that really your real name?
Right, it's like John Doe. It's like, I don't know, man. You could be some kind of spy.
It technically is. It just shortens it and makes it just a little bit more easier for me.
Okay.
But it's Joseph Jesus Canales Smith.
Okay.
So that's a mouthful. I'd rather just to go by Joe Smith.
You know, that reminds me of the Disney show Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And there was this character, and he had a super long name. Did you ever watch Sweet Life of Zack and Cody?
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay. Those of you that are listening to this, if you're like Zillennial in between that phase, you'll probably remember Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. And there's this guy. He was like the bellboy or something, and he had a super long name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's Esteban funny that you Julio. I saw some stuff on Facebook about him, and... this is the general consensus, by the way. This isn't just my opinion. This is the information that I gathered upon, like, researching it. The guy runs these courses in, like, conventions, you know, now. And he charges, like, a ridiculous amount of money. We're talking, like, $3,000-$5,000 with promises of getting people auditions and skyrocketing their career and everything, catapulting. Ooh. So he's running one of those, those dealios. And that's the only reason I know that.
You know, that's a shame. So for those of you that aren't familiar with, like, acting and productions, like, the people that try to, like, sell you these high ticket, you know, events in order to get discovered, or you really have a bad kind of taste in the industry. So it's unfortunate that he's doing that. I mean, I hope he's doing well. I hope he's actually providing value, but all right. Okay, so with that being said, Joe Smith, what's this topic about? Because I know we touched upon these interesting things, ancient aliens. It seemed that, you know, we have a pretty mutual liking of this. So when we think of ancient aliens, you know, a lot of people think of obviously the TV show Ancient Aliens, but...
And the guy with the hair.
Yeah, the guy with the hair, right? He says, science!
Aliens.
Right? Aliens. And it's almost like this comical thing, right? And I feel a lot of times we like to make it comical because it makes us feel more at ease at the thought that, you know what, these aliens, I mean, they can't possibly be real, right? But if you actually take a minute and put aside some of the Hollywood madness and flare-ups that are being put in the TV show, like Ancient Aliens, and actually listen to what they're saying and what these historians are saying, it's pretty interesting. And I think the most common thing that people refer to is, you know, the pyramids, right? The Egyptian pyramids as we know them. There's many people that think they were made by slaves. There's many people that think that they were made by some unknown technology that the Egyptians possessed. And of course, there's people that think they were made by aliens. So what's your position on this?
I mean, I'm the kind of person, I guess, where it's like, unless like I've seen it myself or there's like verifiable, unbiased evidence.
Okay.
It's just speculation. You know, but there is like logical explanations and speculations comparable to what they tell us.
Right.
Like they say that slaves did it and they hauled all these gargantuan, what is it made out of? Limestone.
Right.
From like quarries that were like a ridiculous distance away. And they like rolled them on wooden logs all the way there. It's just kind of crazy.
Right. So all these slaves, like they're insulting us, you know? All these slaves were ridiculously jacked, right? And they were all using this perfect unison of teamwork. And all these rulers, they knew exactly how to coordinate them. They're like, hold on, you're the QB. You got to lead the way this way. You got to pull this way. And you know what? And try it. And they were so good at it that all of a sudden they're like, you know what? Screw the small stuff. We're just going to go ahead and try and do a gargantuan pyramid. I don't know.
But it's like more than that too, though. It's not only just the labor and the moving of the materials,
right.
It's the cutting of it. because they have, they would have us believe that these ancient civilizations were like not even in the Bronze Age or anything like that. Right. You know, so it's like we can't replicate the cuts and the precision and the angles and everything that they did. But that's the explanation that they give us, which is just a little, it makes you wonder, you know, it makes you think. It's like maybe they had some sort of access to some sort of tech or technology or something, or just something that enabled them to do what they did, because it doesn't make sense to say that they, what are they using? Like big giant, like saw blades and just hacking at the stone forever. It doesn't make sense, you know?
Right. Right. And you know, it's interesting because the way that we look at how they manufacture and they cut these things, it's like we're talking on our end millions and millions and millions of dollars of budget that we have accessible whenever we want, yet we choose not to make structures similar to this because, I don't know, is there a level of difficulty involved? I'm not sure. But I mean, without, because I know this isn't a deep dive, guys, this is a little bit of touch on these ancient alien stuff. I mean,
I could deep dive.
Yeah, we could totally do it. Okay, on this episode, you know, I want to touch on, you know, there's some other theories, right? Some people think they somehow got like a really good handle of like magnetism, and I've seen these episodes where like
anti-gravity
kind of things where they're using some kind of fields to lift these objects and place them in there. Yeah. So. Okay, we're not in slave labor anymore, but we're in like gravitational devices. It's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're now using it on those super fast trains, right? The what do they call them? Like maglifts or something like that.
Right.
So they're using the magnets to do that, and it enables us to. I don't even know how fast they travel. Incredibly fast, those chains. I think they use them in Japan and stuff like that, and maybe some parts of Europe, but. The one topic or subject or explanation that intrigued me a little bit is there's, I forget the guy's name, and the place still exists in the continental U.S. somewhere on the East Coast.
Okay.
Where he supposedly said he had discovered the anti-gravity technology.
Ooh, okay.
And he built this, oh my God, I wish I knew the name of this place. I wish we had like a Jamie so he could pull it up or something like that. You know?
Pull it up.
But it's this gargantuan place, and he has all these blocks put together, and the main thing in the front is like this huge, huge rock door, and it's perfectly pivoted so that like you or I or even like my 8-year-old nephew could go up to it and push it, and it'll move.
Wow.
And turn. And it's perfectly pivoted, and he's got all these blocks set up. And according to evidence and stuff like that, nobody saw any cranes out there. Nobody saw anything like that to explain how he moved all of these blocks into place. And I think he created some sort of like maze kind of a situation or something like that. But he said that he had discovered it. And of course, he didn't disclose it. And then he died. And then, you know, all that stuff.
He died. Hold on a second. Did he like unalive himself? Or I don't know. Was he put away?
It's one of those theories again, too, right? Like all throughout history, some folks come up with stuff. I mean, they don't get unalived. They get discredited. Look at Nikola Tesla.
Right.
We now know that he was the one responsible for AC, and homeboy was pushing DC and stuff like that. But then he got pushed out, you know. But that the
Edison, man, your networking skills are the only reason you got it. Okay,
his money and his connections is what. And you know that's a whole nother. Which I can get into him electrocuting elephants, saying AC's bad.
Oh my gosh.
It was a crazy, crazy situation back then. But unalive, died, whatever. But then he dies. And then all of the documents or evidence or the technology he used for it is just gone. And so now we have this site there with all that stuff. And he did it, right? Like he did it. So it's got to
be. So this site exists, physically exists, and we're just left with the mystery.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how that repeats itself. Just like
the pyramids exist, the Easter Island thing exists. I mean, it's kind of interesting to think about, too, right? Like, there's pyramids in Egypt. There's pyramids in the Mayans and the Aztecs.
Yes.
There's even some here in the United States, right in Illinois as well. Big, giant mounds.
They're not
technically like rocks or anything like that, but still. These people gathered an insane amount of dirt and built these mounds, replicating or pyramids, you know? So it's interesting, right? Like places where they had absolutely really no contact with each other were replicating something very similar.
You know, and that brings up another question too, because okay, a part, let's just say, you know what, who cares what they were made out of or how they were made in terms of pyramids? Why have these civilizations across the world all decided, you know what, this is the perfect structure, we're just gonna make some kind of pyramid thing,
like they're and influenced, it's all gonna by be something
very similar style? So it's like, okay, hold on, did you guys have some sort of radio network or some way to communicate with each other, or did you have some kind of higher intellect beings for some odd reason says, hey, you know what, we need you to make these pyramids for our own sacrifice, for goods deliveries? I think that's a good theory too, is like, hey, they just needed to pick something up, I don't know what it was. Or what? I don't know. What do you think, Joe?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is they also tell us that the pyramids are used as tombs, right?
Yeah.
But there's no, as far as I'm aware, I think maybe, like, they found, like, one, but it wasn't even essentially a part of the pyramid.
Right.
And then that's the other thing that's interesting about the show, too, is they go into different theories as to what these structures are actually for.
Right.
And then some of them show that there was a lot of, like, acid buildup and corrosion on the inside of it, the pyramid. And the way that the tunnels and everything are set up as if it was some sort of, like, rudimentary battery or power device. Ooh, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because there is no bodies, they weren't used to bury anybody,
right? And so I mean, how are you getting rust from these things, from a single dead body that's already embalmed and covered and hidden in there? I mean, I don't think there's any other way to, you know.
I like to feel you know, as a civilization and where we're at now, we use a lot of, like, destructive energy.
Okay.
Combustion engines, rocket fuel, burning. It's all destructive. It's all like burning something, destroying something. I like to feel that the Egyptians and then the civilizations that came before them and stuff like that were more in tune with, like, vibes and energy and like a natural energy too.
You know, and that, I think that makes sense what you're saying there, because, I mean, look at their deifications, right? Look what they make into gods.
Yeah. Exactly.
The sun god, essential to Egyptian, you know, beliefs. So I'm like, okay, are you using some form of solar? Is that, you know, what allows you to light up these structures? Because there is a degree of, like, wanting to have frequencies in these things too.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know, that ties into Nikola Tesla too, that's right?
The other thing too,
a lot of frequency in ancient structures, and not even that ancient. I mean, even, like, down to, like, more modern things, like cathedrals have a certain frequency to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
There's so many, like, this could just, like, I could just spiral. My brain's going crazy right now because, like, if I remember correctly too, if you look out one of the holes that the pyramid runs out to the sky, it is, like, perfectly in position for a particular what do they call those when the stars line up?
You know, like a constellation.
Constellation perfectly lines up just for that particular constellation.
Right.
Also, the location of them is, like, in, like, a supreme spot to get what do they call
maximum,
like,
sunlight?
Magnetism of the earth. So, like, a natural type of energy system as well too. It's just, like, all of it is very, like, convenient. But if you talk about it and you believe it, then you're labeled a conspiracy theorist or a wacko. Yeah. And then you're the guy with the hair that's saying aliens on, you know, ancient aliens.
But, you know, like, people listen to, like, Galileo, right? And he's like, hold on a second, maybe we don't encircle the earth. And they thought he was a wacko.
They put him on house arrest for the rest of his life, literally, because he said the earth wasn't the center of the universe. And at one point, it was, like, 100%. It was the center of the universe. So
right.
It's always, as a prime example, is prudent to think outside of the box compared to, like, oh, this is what it is. Like, you can't think like that. I don't think science and advancing, that doesn't work well.
And it's interesting because, I mean,
being closed-minded,
like, going in the school system. I mean, I've been out of the school system, you know, in a while. But I mean, growing up in high school, I definitely do not remember even it being considered. Hey, there is also some theories with a couple of things supporting it that the pyramids and the ancient structures may be influenced by some civilization that we don't yet know.
Well, I mean, when we go to school, we're told that Edison created the light bulb and this, that, and the other, right?
They dropping don't tell, some medicine.
They don't tell us anything about Nikola Tesla, even though he's responsible for a tremendous amount of technology that we use to this day.
So, you know,
that we're barely just implementing as well. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I feel that that's seeded by something. You know, that's definitely, there's some kind of monetary. I mean, obviously, Nikola Tesla built so many sustainable structures and gave the ability for us to have, you know, electricity around the world if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. If we fine-tuned the instructions, but clearly, big energy doesn't like that.
Yeah.
That's a whole other topic.
It's the age-old saying, right, that history is written by the victors.
And yes,
the same kind of logic applies to history in regards to that. You know, it's like whoever patented it first, or whoever had the most power or political power or money or something like that, that's the person that did it. Not, it could have been somebody else, like Nikola Tesla, but it's homeboy that we hear about, not him. And then we grow up and we start to think for ourselves, and we're like, do a little research, and doesn't even take that much. And then you're like, damn, so that was kind of like we were bamboozled, or not even really bamboozled. We just weren't really told the full truth.
And that was how long ago? Freaking not even a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Right.
He was like totally into radio waves and everything.
Right.
Way before. And they just scooped all that stuff up, put it someplace. Like you got to ask yourself too, right? Like the Vatican, the store, the vault, the library that they have underground. It's like, what stuff do they have down there? Because like nobody has access.
Talk about the ultimate level of gatekeeping, right?
Like super, super, super. That's like probably like the epitome of it, really.
So as you guys are listening to this right now, what do you think is in the Vatican? And with that, we're going to take a brief commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Midnight Musings podcast. So I left you guys off on a question when we just ended our commercial break. What do you think is in the Vatican? So I'm going to pose that question right back to you, Joe. What do you think is in the Vatican?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, people speculate all over the place, and then the Vatican and everything could take me down like a windy road of like the Templar and then the Illuminati and all this crazy stuff. And most people don't even know about the Templar, to be honest. It's kind of cringe because they were like a tremendous part of history. But what's in the Vatican, I mean, people say like the Holy Grail.
Right.
Or the spear that pierced Christ.
So talk about this, because, you know, I this podcast is really directed towards people that, yes, you can have a broad understanding of a lot of things, but some people may not know anything about it. And I know a lot of people, you know, may not even know about kind of principles of Christianity and things like that. So like what is a Holy Grail in a sense?
From my understanding, the Holy Grail was the cup that Jesus drank out of.
Okay.
You know, well, it's my understanding, and what I would envision it is in was that Indiana Jones movie.
Okay.
In The Last Crusade. You know, the Holy Grail.
Right.
Like that little cup, little dealio, but for some reason it's given some sort of like supernatural powers and stuff like
right.
that, the same way the spear is. And that's like in whatchamacallit though, you know, not sci-fi, supernatural, you know.
Right, imbued of supernatural powers. I mean, you know, for you non-Christians out there or people that aren't familiar with the lore, right? Basically, anything, it is believed that anything that is touched by Jesus, especially things that were touched towards the end of his life, have some sort of spiritual power. So that's why you see a lot of movies and films like go off of these things. Yes, yeah, imbued with a lot of supernatural power. And sometimes it's funny because sometimes it's kind of like the Infinity Gauntlet, like you can use it no matter what. And other times it's like, oh, only like a priest or someone that shares a similar lineage can like utilize or like wield it. So it's, yeah, it's definitely, you know, interesting. And, you know, the Vatican, they do claim they have one thing that belongs to Jesus, like they adamantly claim, which is kind of interesting. It's called the Shroud of Turin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but basically they believe that is the sacred cloth or whatever that they covered when Jesus died. And so when that cloth was removed, it left some sort of imprint of Jesus's face like blood imprints on it, which is kind of interesting. Oh,
that's true, because I mean he did go to the grave pretty beat up.
Yeah, pretty bloody. But okay, so here's where it gets kind of interesting too. Okay, because this feeds into a lot of other things. I don't care if you're religious or not and you're listening to this. This is freaking cool. They have detected radioactive energy seeping out of that cloth.
Really?
Yeah, so it has some sort of radiation that is emanating out of this cloth. Hmm. Why is that? I have no freaking idea.
It's interesting.
Yeah, so that's another thing to chew on, right? So Vatican, they got this cool cloth thing. They claim it came from, you know, comes directly from Jesus. And so they're okay with announcing that. But everything else, they're like, okay, secret book, secret file number 50,002, we can't talk about it.
It goes back into, like, the history is written by the victors, right?
Yeah.
And the Catholic Church was a tremendous player in a lot of politics, the Crusades, the
medieval times. They laid a lot of money moves, too.
Yeah, they did a lot of, you know, not savory things.
Yeah.
Would probably be the best way to put it.
And if you're a Catholic and you're listening to this right now, you know, we all listen, every culture and religion has had some pretty nasty moments, okay?
Every single,
you know,
religion.
And so it's no direct hate on y'all, but we know that that's been a pretty nasty part of history, you know, in which a lot of, in the name of Catholicism, not saying that's what Catholicism believes, but in the name of Catholicism, a lot of killings have been done. So it's pretty interesting to, you know, look back at these things.
Every religion, to be honest, there's been a tremendous amount of killing. So it's not just Catholicism, it's Christianity. I mean, all of them. You know, nothing in particular, but
for sure.
Again, to what's in there, I would say, you know, there's the Dark Ages, right?
Yeah.
Where we technically don't know what happened because people were just going crazy. And like Alexandria, the place that Alexander the Great established and had the greatest library that the medieval times or those ancient times knew. And then we're told that it just got looted and burnt up, quite literally. All the documents in there, the biggest library that ever existed back then, with all the world's history and Alexander's and Achilles and all these potentially exaggerated people of history is just gone. Poof, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they scooped up some of that and they put it down there, and there's a lot of stuff in there that tells history for what it was actually.
Right.
But instead, we get told what they want us to know. And, you know, and that applies like across the board, not just the Vatican. So I'm not like being prejudiced. I'm definitely not like a prejudiced person in saying Catholic bad, Catholic bad. I'm not. I'm just speculating that it's a possibility that they hold all kinds of documents in there that actually depict the way things went down in history compared to what we were told, you know, because you get these ideas of people. And it's, I guess, according to them, it's probably better to think of them in a better lighting than if they were looked at, if they were like, you know, Vlad the Impaler or something like that.
Right. And you have to, you know, also recognize that the historians that are writing this, you know, they're not necessarily the corrupt ones, but they all have a boss. So you think about it, you have an all-powerful, intimidating boss in these medieval the times. The Pope is literally your boss, okay? This is not like your idea of like some benevolent, have never been in a war kind of Pope. This is like war-trodden popes literally acting as, you know, as kings as well, fighting against other tribes and other, you know, a whole bunch of other countries and just saying, hey, I didn't like that battle that just happened a few years ago. Go ahead and fix that up for me, will ya? It's just like, are you going to be like, no?
Move things around a little bit.
Just move things around just a little bit.
Twist it. Little white lies.
Twist it, bop it, spin it. But, you know, okay, so we've covered some history here, and not being a historian, I also want to just put it down in people's minds, you know, that we may not have all these historical answers. But if you do, if you want to add more to it, you're more than welcome to just spruce up our knowledge, because this is a collective learning environment here. But, you know, continuing kind of going off of aliens and kind of piggybacking on that, I know you mentioned there was this other thing to look into, and I can't recall it at the time.
You've seen that movie Prometheus?
Yes.
The prequel to Aliens. I love that. The setup that Ridley Scott did with that whole universe prequel to that situation too, because if you remember in the beginning of that, like we were talking about the pyramids, right?
Right.
And various other ancient structures all over the globe. And sometimes they may not, they have a different aesthetic, but right. the generalization of them is the same. Pyramid right. type things or
yeah.
various other structures the same, but then they're a little change, a little different. Like
I think, that's because they have different materials, different resources.
Right. But then there's yeah. people that say they're influenced by different like alien factions. The same as we have different human beings from different, like right. our United States building is looking different than like Russian,
for instance, sure.
for example. So, yeah. so people say stuff like that. But there's in the beginning of Prometheus, they go and they're in a cave, and it's like these ancient drawings of like cavemen that are drawing on the walls, and it's these beings that are pointing at a particular star system.
Okay.
And it's an actual star system, right? But the crazy thing that they explain is that they find this drawing and the depiction of this individual pointing to this solar system, star system, in like 9 different caves all over the globe.
Ooh,
that had absolutely no way of getting in contact with each other, right? But they're all depicting the same solar system. That's kind of crazy. It's like Antarctica.
Yeah.
And then like Australia. They're like there's no way for ancient people
Antarctica. To get to each other. That was the thing. Dude, I know you mentioned Antarctica before, and now we're finally going back. We're going full circle to Antarctica stuff. Okay, I like the pace. But keep it going.
I love that part of that, right? Is because there are similarities in real life, because it's a work of fiction, right? It's Ridley Scott dreaming up this prequel kind of a thing. But
I think it's not Scientology doctrine yet. Okay.
I'm fairly certain, if I had to wager, that he bases it on a bit of reality. Anybody who like creates stuff is basing it on, unless, you know, they're drawing inspiration from the great Tolkien or something like that, you know?
Right.
So that's very that when I saw that and I heard that, I'm like, that's very similar to like the structures that we have, the temple or pyramids. They're all the same, but they're all over the freaking planet, and they had absolutely right. no way. We weren't even able to cross the ocean till Columbus, or so we're told.
Columbus, come on, we all know Columbus. You were a noob, man. I'm sorry. I was reading. I think it was somewhere in the 48 Laws of Power or something along those lines, and it was talking about Columbus, how he hustled his way into being able to sail the voyage across, because prior to that he had no like sailing experience as a professional, you know, captain or anything like that. So it's, listen, okay, besides the point. But, you know, going back to this idea, you know, I want to bring up a theory, potential theory. Listen, hear me out, guys. You know, what if these ancient civilizations didn't really start from scratch as we assume? And what if they were maybe more of a survivor type of, you know, civilization, and that's why they knew to point to these solar systems and structures? It wasn't because they built it out of just clay pots and stuff and they woke up one day out of the caves and they're like, you know what, we know everything about stars. What if they were already similarly advanced to us, to where they did have maps and could recall and did have different structures of, you know, astronomy, and then all of a sudden some kind of calamity happened to their society, but of course they had some kind of records or something that they could still reference the stars. And maybe they were just trying to tell us, hey, see that star constellation there? Don't mess with those guys. Those are the guys that blew us up.
Yeah. It's like the Battlestar Galactica. Did you ever watch the new Battlestar Galactica?
You know what? I never really caught on to the lore. It seemed interesting to me. Like, you know, I've seen clips here and there, but I never really dived into it. Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Yeah. Fill me in as the audience. I mean, what's the whole concept about? Because it's kind of like extra nerdy Star Wars. Like Star Wars on steroids, right? A little bit?
No, not really, no.
No?
I mean, the original one was, but the new one was a bit of a more reimagining of the original. You know, with modern tech and everything, we made it really, really cool. But the premise of that was that humans were on a different planet, not Earth.
Okay.
They created AI. AI became, like, too powerful.
Okay.
The humans
became, like its own god, right?
Well, they didn't consider, like, God, but they considered... They had, like, a hive mind kind of a situation. But they each did have their own, like, identity.
Okay.
Each of them. But then there was, like, replications of, like, the same.
Ooh.
Because they were based on, like, a clonage type of situation from particular people. Actual real people, right?
So like the Kryptonians or whatever in the
But Superman. The Kryptonian, like... They're actually still Kryptonian, like flesh and blood. The robots, Battlestar Galactica, the AI robots, they're actually fucking robots. They're not like flesh and blood. Well, they're made very, very, very close.
Okay.
To, but they're not like human or flesh and blood.
Like kind of like you know? Like Eternals a little bit. Kind of like robot-y, humanish kind of creatures.
I would say like a very sophisticated cyborg.
Okay.
Like a very advanced where I think they have like flesh.
Cybernetic and, organism.
And stuff going through them and they have to eat and stuff like that. But they're still technically robotic.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So they're on the different Earth number two.
Okay.
And they do this, and I can't remember who did it first. I think the robot struck first.
Okay.
And then that's the premise of Battlestar Galactica, because they're supposed to, Battlestar Galactica is quite literally a battlestar, which is a gargantuan ship, battleship, essentially. And the Galactica is the last fucking one, because when the aliens struck first, they did a Pearl Harbor.
Ooh.
And they did it efficiently. They wiped out like all of the other battle stars and efficiently rendered the humans helpless. And they only had the one left. And then the whole planet just goes poof because the robots, they did a super, super efficient Pearl Harbor.
Jeez.
So that's the premise of the show, is they're left on the Battlestar Galactica. And they had to do that because these battle stars were incredibly powerful and the aliens couldn't fight them efficiently. So they did a lot of like the clonings of the people and putting them in strategic places, blowing them up, and just it was like this instant attack where it was like, but like imagine like Pearl Harbor times four and in multiple different locations,
yeah,
like strategically, and they just wiped all the humans out. And that's basically the gist of Battlestar Galactica. But the cool thing at the end of it is the end of the show, and they make peace, and the aliens that are left, not the aliens, the AI, the robots that are left, and the humans are like, we're going to end up like killing each other, annihilating each other. We need to coexist. And I think, if I remember correctly, they were enabled to have an actual human breed with one of the robots and create an actual like...
A Nephilim!
Like a weird...
Hybrid
baby.
Interesting.
Like half robot, half human, I guess. Ooh. Kind of a thing. Yeah, so it was actually something that wasn't ever supposed to happen or be able to happen, but it happened. And they settled on Terra, which is Earth as we are know it now.
Okay.
And the premise of it, too, is that what they say in there is that this has all happened before and will happen again.
Ooh.
Which is like this repeating cycle, right? Like we get so advanced, like we were in Battlestar. We create all this stuff. We spread out into the stars. And then we end up like destroying ourselves, and then we settle on a new Terra, and we start all over again, building as like a very basic civilization. But then it makes it in my mind, it makes a little bit of sense, right? Because it's like the Egyptians and stuff like that. Maybe if they were settled by like ancient humans that came from someplace else,
right?
They had access and understanding of how all this like superior technology works,
right.
But they chose to live more in tune with the planet and the Earth, and
with the knowledge
that
if we get too advanced, hey, we're gonna start all over again. AI is gonna just battle us.
And
so.
I mean, we're look where we're going now.
Yeah,
bro. It's like we're Joe Rogan said it best in one of his podcasts, or not his podcast, in his stand-up comedy. You fly in a plane over the Earth. And as you're coming into the city or something, like when you're way up there, it looks nice and peaceful. You see the planet and it's green and it's the way it's supposed to be, in mountain and trees and water and snow and blah, blah, blah. And then you come into where the humans are and we're like a fucking cancer on the planet. You look at all the buildings and it changes the natural, beautiful image that is the Earth. And then you just see all this human civilization everywhere, and it quite literally looks like cancer on the Earth.
And it'd be like interesting. Now let's side a little bit. Let's be a little devil's advocate with the aliens too, because if you were this more advanced version of us, and you have existed for a longer period of us, and you're desperate, you know, a couple of your planets, your home planets, have been blown up before, and then you see this beautiful planet, and you zoom in, and you see these noobs, these lame little aliens like us, and we're just messing up the planet. Do you want to waste your time trying to teach them, or are you like, hey, can we just like blow these guys up and like take it for ourselves? I don't know. Interesting.
That's what's his name? The late Hawking speculated
that
if there was aliens, we would. I can't remember verbatim what he said, but paraphrasing, it was that we better pray and hope that they're not like us.
They will kill us.
Because, you know, look what we do to lesser beings.
Yeah.
Look what we do to chickens and cows.
And you know what's interesting about that? Because we got alien probing, kind of interesting. But, you know, even though I have not watched episodes of Battlestar Galactica, I did look at this interesting theory that was behind it. Because the writer is a religious guy. And so he based those writings off of, funny enough, like religion and like biblical stuff. Hmm. And so his concept behind this theory of, you know, like AI and this galactic, you know, battlefield was actually a spin off of what we believe happened, you know, or Christians believe happened in the Earth before, you know, we came to being, right? So there was the angels, the ones that wanted to follow God, and the ones that didn't want to follow God, which became, you know, Satan, demons, all these kind of creatures and stuff. And so when we think of war in heaven, right, we think of it as a kind of very earthbound thing. Like, okay, there's some kind of cloud that's like floating over Earth, and they're like fighting over the planet. But I'm like, hold on a second. Isn't God multiversal or universal, right? So like, why would the battle just happen on Earth? Why would the battle not happen across the multiple galaxies in the universe?
Yeah.
So kind of interesting theory. You know, if you're thinking of your like old school, like Renaissance painting of like Michael with like wings in stabbing the sky, this devil, hey, fighting. Maybe they're on starships and they're like blasting each other with like angelic key waves or something and blowing themselves up. I don't know. So interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least, I don't know. Writer thought that. But that is up to your interpretation, because all of it is, of course, sci-fi. So add in your science, add in your fiction. At the end of the day, enjoy, right? It's entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's essentially what we're witnessing when we watch a show, is somebody dreaming up something that they've thought about in a scenario, you know, and then putting it into practicality and then allowing people to either love it or hate it.
Right. And, you know, this is interesting. So listening to this, I like to end these episodes with a challenge. Mm-hmm. So as you're listening to this, guys, you probably are taking in some knowledge. You're like, this is some weird stuff. I don't know if any of it's real or not. These some crazy guys talking. But my challenge for you for this episode is to see things and challenge yourself to see things in a different light, a little bit unconventional than what you normally would see them. And who knows? You may discover something that you previously were not open to. And check out Battlestar Galactica, because I guess I'm going to check it out too now.
There's a lot of them, I would say. Battlestar Galactica, the remake, the newer one, not the old one.
Okay.
That one's kind of hard. It's like the fucking the meme.
It's like with all the props, like,
of
right?
Deadpool, though, where his face comes, you know, he sees his face for the time. He's like, motherfucker, you are hard to look at.
Oh,
like,
my
it's,
gosh.
It's like I go back and play like Duke Nukem, like the original, and I'm like, god damn, how did I play this shit, because it is hard to fucking look at. So yeah, the old school one would be a little bit hard, but the new one, I think, because like you said, the original one I think was based on the dude, the creator's ideology, and then the new one came out and they kind of like
remixed it up a little bit. Yeah,
they modernized it with some writings and ideologies.
It's just how, you know, when you read Stan Lee's original you know, Avengers and other kind of comic booky stuff. I mean, we love to think of Thor as like always speaking in Shakespeare, but that doesn't always translate well on screen.
Yeah.
And you may not be able to understand everything he says. So the modern take on Thor may be a little better. So in that same sense, hey, sometimes the original is not the cream of the crop, but that's okay.
Well, yes and no. Sometimes it's not, but then sometimes it is. Like the Total Recall original with Arnold, the best. And then the new one that they made, it was like garbage.
Didn't even know it came
out. I love Colin Farrell. I love Colin Farrell. He's a great actor and everything, but it was just fucking terrible. It was terrible. But recommendations, I would say for sure, Battlestar Galactica. And a newer one that's out is Apple TV, is The Foundation.
Okay.
That is like a Star Wars thing on steroids.
Interesting.
For sure.
All right, guys. Well, you have homework to do. So comment down below, what was your favorite part of listening to this podcast? What questions do you have for myself or Joe? Feel free to drop them down in the comments, and we'll see you again next time.